Good morning. You're listening to author, activist, and journalist Cory Doctorow and Too Much Scrolling. I'll see you in the future.
Scrolling for January 29th, 2019. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenflor.
And we're just a couple of guys sitting around talking about things that are important to us. Hopefully they're important to you. If you need more information, there's so many great ways to find more information. You know, you just... We have the freedom in the United States. You just hop in your car and you just drive wherever you want, Chip.
You can.
No, you can't.
Even when it's frozen outside.
No, you can't. Your car won't start. We are on the internet right now, separately, doing the show because it's so cold in Chicago today.
Steve, I have a brand new battery in my vehicle, and it is so cold.
How cold is it? It's so cold that your car won't start. So here we are.
And we're knowing that the day that this is being released, it's going to get even colder.
And Wednesday, even colder, yeah.
We're talking about with wind chills negative 60 degrees.
Yeah, it is very possible that we will see a wind chill 60 below zero this week, and it might be the entire week. There is a good chance that I will not go to school this week because snow on Monday, followed by frigid temperatures Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Well, the beauty is you have plenty of beer.
I stopped off at the liquor store on the way home because that's kind of policy around here. Is the temperature defines how much of a stock of beer you have to have,
and then throw on streaming services.
As long as those hold up, yeah.
And we've got books, so Steve, I think we're in pretty good shape.
I think we'll be just fine. I think the kids and their video games are all set. I'll stay down here in the basement without you, but it's okay. You have your own place.
Speaking of, last week the principal announcing that the kids didn't have to go to school and told them they could stay home and play Fortnite. And he's saying that.
The superintendent. The superintendent.
That was the superintendent.
I had a good day at school, even with those kids who didn't come in. So it was fine. I hope for the best for this week.
Film at 11.
Brings us to our Film at 11, our movie of the week. You got a chance to see one of the movies nominated for Best Picture this week. You got to see Green Book.
And it starred two wonderful actors. Obviously, we had Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen. Not Viggo from Ghostbusters 2. Viggo Mortensen.
Yes. The gentleman from Lord of the Rings, Steve.
Uh-huh.
And also Captain Fantastic.
I love Captain Fantastic. Those of you who haven't seen Captain Fantastic, that is on my list of movies that you really should find and watch.
And then Mahershala Ali.
Oh, yeah. Mahershala Ali has done some wonderful acting in the last few years. He was Cottonmouth in...
Remy from the House of Cards.
Remy from the House of Cards. Cottonmouth in... that was Daredevil?
No. Luke Cage.
Luke Cage. They're all confusing to me. They're all the same Netflix Marvel show. Mahershala Ali is wonderful at acting. And tell us about how this movie worked for you.
Well, let me go ahead and just start off. This may have been the best film I had seen from last year.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and rate it at 90 out of 100.
Wow.
So this is a really, really good film. I do think that there's a lot that goes on. We have a gentleman who is black, who is going to, who is at the height of his career. He's a classical pianist. And he decides that he's going to go tour the South. And this takes place during the 1960s. This is a real story. And being a black man going to the South means a couple things. One, the name of the movie is Green Book. That term comes from, if you were a black family and you were traveling across the United States, at that time, because of segregation, you couldn't stay at many of the hotels. So there was a gentleman entrepreneur who put together a list of places that you could go and you could stay as you traveled across, and that was called the Green Book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where our movie gets its name. The other part is that Dr. Don Shirley, our pianist, needs to have basically a bodyguard. Because you never know what could happen when you're going down south during that time. And we learned a number of things about sundown cities. And a sundown town could be that if you're a black person, you were not allowed to be out of your house after sun went down. Imagine living like that. That was crazy.
It is an amazing look at that time period. The 1960s was a time of cultural change where we were in the middle of the civil rights movement, but this is still early in that time.
So something that was brought up immediately in the movie was, why didn't he just stay up in the Northeast? He was being paid top dollar to play. People were coming to see him. Shirley decided he was going to tour down south. And the reason he was going to tour down south is to be an inspiration to other black people who were living in that area, that they could do it too. In order to do that, he did get Tony Lip, who is our Italian working class gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the other parts, not only was this a sort of a trip that was taken with a black and a white gentleman at the time, basically exploring the issues of the time, it was also one of class. And while we don't really acknowledge a class system here in the United States, there were a few classes going on. We had the educated class, Dr. Don Shirley, and versus the working class, which was Tony Lip.
Mm-hmm.
We also got to deal with a little bit of being wealthy versus being poor. And eventually we were dealing with being straight and being gay. Because there are many issues that are being discussed throughout this and explored during this movie. So one of the stories that they explored was when they arrived, I think it was Mississippi, the police stopped him, and Tony Lip got to experience a little bit of the prejudice because he's Italian. And then we get to explore the power of connections because they're ultimately arrested for this without an idea of when they could get out. So Don Shirley ends up calling in a Catholic, how about that?
Yeah.
In a Protestant area to get them out too. So how far our society has moved from the 60s to today, and how far we still need to go, is pretty amazing. But the idea that we get to see it sort of, you know, a period of its time really helps us understand a little bit about what's going on. I think this movie is a very powerful movie. I think it talks about friendship. It talks about how our differences are very interesting, and they can be part of what makes us fun to be alive. I really enjoyed this film. Like I said, I think this could win Best Film.
Wow. It is nominated for Best Picture. It did win Best Screenplay at the Golden Globes and Best Picture and Best Performance for Mahershala Ali. I think that a lot of people agree with you that this is one of the best films of 2018. I look forward to seeing this movie eventually and see how many awards it gets at the Oscars. Do you remember that this was directed by Peter Farrelly?
No.
So
I did see it when it came up, and it did, you know, kind of, I put it in the back of my memory, but until you mentioned it, I didn't even think about it.
This is definitely a different kind of movie than the Farrelly Brothers films, that's for sure.
Sure. Well, there's nothing about Mary here.
Right. You also got a chance to see The Creepy Line. This is available on Amazon Prime, and it's a documentary all about privacy and security on the internet. There's yes. Nothing scary there.
There's nothing scary at all. In fact, this is, I need to be very clear on this. This is a movie that I do recommend you see. The term The Creepy Line was actually coined by Eric Schmidt. He was the CEO of Google at the time. And he said, we want to go up to the creepy line, but we don't want to cross it.
Mm-hmm.
This movie is an exploration of how Google and Facebook, and they leave out Amazon and some of the other services, but really Google and Facebook sort of go over that creepy line. There's some criticisms of this film, that this documentary, and that the criticisms usually say it's sort of a hired gun in the sense that they had an agenda going through there. I think if you watched it knowing that there was a group of people that wanted to expose this, that's perfectly fine. I still think regardless of where you come from, you're going to be shocked about how much Google and Facebook, how much influence they can have on you, how you perceive the world. And I think there's really the real issue. I mean, these services are free, Steve.
Mm-hmm.
even when you pay for the services, like school districts pay for the services, like your students use Google Chromebooks.
Right.
With Google Docs, with Google Email. Even though the school district and your tax dollars pay for those services, Google is still mining those students' work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're identifying those students and how that information is used or will be used to benefit them or not benefit them. It's really kind of the question that comes down to.
And that's one of the questions is the influence that they have over my students today might not be something significant, but what will happen 5 years from now? What will happen 10 years from now? Who will control this data in the future becomes part of that creepy line.
When you're using Google as a private citizen, mm-hmm. and you choose to use their services, one, we know they're mining your email. We know they're mining your Google Docs. We know they're mining your use of it, even when you erase it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are the product. This is how they place advertising for.
They are an advertising company. That is how they're making money. Facebook and Google, both, they are making money based on our data.
Yes, absolutely. Now, where this kind of gets interesting is some of the studies that are brought up on this. And one, we've got Jordan Peterson, who is a gentleman that's typically thought of as conservative. He's Canadian. And there's also a gentleman named Robert Epstein, who does some studies. What we want to know about their plight was that when they were using YouTube for Jordan Peterson, who was a highly viewed person, is that Google decided they were just going to cut him off, as in his videos weren't available through YouTube at the time. And they cut off his Gmail.
Hmm.
And they cut off his Google contacts.
Hmm.
And imagine having all your contacts and 12, 15 years worth of email gone.
All of that data that we have with Google, that we've been using Google for so long now, if all of that data, if somebody at Google decided to get rid of it and it's just gone, what would you do?
Yeah, and the question is that you really have to ask is you're using their services
mm-hmm.
under their terms, but really it's not how it's presented to you. It's really presented to you in a different way. And I think that this is a very interesting study, and this is why I think this is important. The other part is Robert Epstein, I think he was the gentleman who performed the study. Most of us do not know a lot about Australian politics. I couldn't name who the prime minister or president or whoever the leader is of right. Australia right now. And my ignorance is would be very good at determining being part of a study.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what they did. They did a study of politics going on in Australia. They used Americans as their group. And you're going in there and you say, which candidate would you vote for? And if you have no information except for you, who we would think, I mean, it's pretty random.
Right.
I want this person, I want that person. But what if we steered information to you? Would that have an impact on how you view these candidates?
And probably the answer is yes. If you only had the information that was handed you from one source, then that's all the information that you can go on.
But it's not presented as one source. It's a ranking source, Steve. When you use a search engine
mm-hmm.
and it's bringing that information up, it's not one source. There's a lot of sources. And it just depends upon how it's presented to you.
Right.
And what they were able to show is that, yes, they could influence. In fact, they could influence you 10% one way or another. And that doesn't sound a lot, but maybe it's 20 or 30 or 40. And they could show how they potentially could impact how you view the world.
Mm.
And you could say, well, I don't really believe that. Well, while they didn't discuss it on here, think about how many people who watch Fox News view the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, think about many people who their only news source is MSNBC or CNN mm-hmm. view the world. And all of a sudden, you recognize that you could potentially be living in a bubble, or you could have your opinions being swung, not by objective information, but potentially subjective information. And what I mean by that is, let's just say I ask Google what the capital of Illinois is.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to come up as Springfield.
Right.
And that's a definitive answer.
Because that is objective. There's no subjective material to this fact.
Steve, who should I vote for president?
That is completely subjective. That has so many influential pieces to it. There is no factual. Wikipedia is not a good source of information for that question.
No, but the point of the of that type of Google question is many people are going to it and viewing it as authoritative.
Right.
And this is very interesting. It is brought up in a wonderful way in this. Once again, if you recognize that this is sort of a loaded gun type of documentary, I don't personally think that anybody working for Google or working for Facebook or Amazon or any of the other services is purposely trying to hurt people. They want to make your life better.
Right.
But I do think that if you step back and look at the potential challenges that this is having, then you're going to see that there could be a problem. You know, it's one thing to read a newspaper and Warren Buffett owns it, which Warren Buffett owns a lot of newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
If you read the New York Times and you read the Wall Street Journal, the deal is that we have lots of different choices.
Mm-hmm.
But when we go using Google or Facebook, there really, when I say not a lot of choices, there really are not, the competition is there, but no one is, it's turned into sort of a natural winner. A natural monopoly.
Right.
Natural monopolies are not necessarily bad, but they are things that we should always kind of be aware of.
They're definitely influential, and you get into that echo chamber where you're hearing back from all of this group of people that you chose to listen to and assuming sure. that they are right, and then you just think that they're right because they are the people that we've gone to for data. This is a very long conversation about where we get our influence, how we know things, how we get to the point where we can make a decision on something that's much more subjective.
So a few months ago, we sort of discussed this a little bit. If you remember our conversation with Cory Doctorow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he certainly is on the forefront of opening our eyes to what are we looking at on the internet? What is our privacy really on the internet? And do we have privacy? And he is one of the advocates. I do recommend that you go to Cory Doctorow. Boingboing.net is the website that he's on most of the time and read his books because he's got some ideas that will be pretty eye-opening. This movie sounds like it would be that same line of idea.
Absolutely. All right, so Steve, I got to watch some stuff. Did you get to watch anything this week?
A little bit. Not nearly as much as you. I've had a really busy week with the weather and all of the contingency plans that I've had to run through at school. But I have finally gotten a chance to see True Detective on HBO. Season 3 started about a month ago now, and I have finally gotten time to sit down and watch this really in-depth mystery that is presented in a very slow fashion where you are really, you get the feeling of investigating with the main characters here, and they are meticulous in what they're finding.
So do they release this weekly, or was this released all at once?
This is a weekly HBO show, and I really recommend that you watch it in a weekly fashion. I really don't think that going through 4, 5, 6 hours of the show would be good for your mental health, because this is a very dark story about child abduction and the impact that a terrible situation can have on a family, on a town, and the fear and the evil of this story really shines through. And I don't recommend that you sit down and watch 4 hours of it. It's really that effective.
Okay, so this sounds really interesting. Who are our actors in this?
This is Mahershala Ali, who you loved.
What?
Yeah, in Green Book.
Remy?
Yes, Remy from House of Cards and Cottonmouth from the Luke Cage series. He is one of the best actors working right now. I really, really love his work. And here he's playing 3 different versions of himself. This is a story that spans 35 years in the investigation of this child abduction. It starts in 1980. He is then questioned about it when new information comes to light in 1990, and then he is interviewed about it later in 2015 when he is a much older man. And he plays those 3 stages of this character's life so well that I can't I can't not watch this, even though it's a very, very dark subject.
All right, so each season has its own set of actors. Are you almost finished? Are we at the tail end of this? Are there 10 episodes of it or 8 episodes?
This is a 10-episode series, so we're about halfway through the mystery at this point. Episode 4 just aired on Sunday, so we're not quite halfway through at this point. This is fantastic filmmaking. This is that HBO series on the level of all of those other great HBO series, The Sopranos and The Game of Thrones. I really recommend True Detective. Season 1 was really fantastic. It was Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, who are two...
All right, all right, all right.
You have to say that whenever you say Matthew McConaughey. They are... They are two of our best actors. This one is Mahershala Ali and Stephen Dorff. I could do without Stephen Dorff. He's not really on my list of the greatest actors in America, but he shines.
He doesn't drive a Lincoln, does he, Steve?
No, he doesn't drive a Lincoln at all. That's what it is. That's the difference. He shines here as the sidekick to Mahershala Ali's really amazing acting. The fun part about season 3 of True Detective is Mahershala Ali's character is an unreliable narrator. They set up in the first episode that he has memory problems. He has a memory loss issue. And in fact, in his 70s, in 2015, the character actually records himself speaking to himself so that he can play it back for himself the next day. So we never really know if what he's saying is true from the beginning of this story. I really think that you should find True Detective on HBO.
All right, so Steve, we have a whole bunch of movies that are coming out this week. Mm-hmm. They seem to be a lot of filler movies.
January.
But the deal is these are the ones that eventually populate Amazon Prime and Netflix and you know, any of the other streaming services later on, and they all look pretty good. So let's just rifle through them.
Good. The first one is called An Affair to Die For. This is a very dark story about a secret rendezvous and a man who's cheating on his wife. And boy, there's a problem that pops up.
So a man cheats on his wife. There's a lot of kinky stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
And then the husband of that person comes and decides he's going to take revenge.
Uh-huh.
This looks pretty scary.
It is pretty scary. I recommend looking at the trailer at least on that one. There's one called Arctic. This is the story of a man stranded after his plane crashes in the Arctic and he has to survive. And it's not Tom Hanks talking to a volleyball.
Exactly. The first thing we learn about this is that if you're going to have that type of adventure where you have to be cast away on an island, you want the Caribbean. You want someplace warm, someplace tropical.
Yes. Always get stranded in a tropical island, not in Chicago in January where your car won't start.
Well, this is called Arctic. This is based off a graphic novel.
Uh-huh.
This actually looks pretty good also. If you go to comixology.com, this is on sale right now if you want to read I guess there's 3 volumes of this book.
Interesting. Miss Bala is the story of a young lady who goes down to Mexico and gets caught up in a world that she was not expecting to be in and becomes a real amazing fighter with a gun. This is an action adventure film.
This is about the cartels down there.
It
looks like that she is her friend is kidnapped. She is basically forced to make some choices, put her in basically criminal element to fulfill to free her friend, and then becomes the Punisher. I don't know. It looks like that something happens. This looks like Peppermint, maybe, or the Jennifer Gardner film. But actually, maybe a better version of that.
I was thinking more like Linda in Terminator becoming the real mom that has to go and save the world. It looks interesting. Again, maybe when it comes to Netflix or HBO or something. There is a British film called Then Came You. This is a story of a hypochondriac who works in an airport baggage handler situation who then befriends a British teenager who has a fatal illness and they have to go through her bucket list.
Now, this is our teen movie of the week. And this is definitely just a gentleman who's sort of trying to find his way in the world, thinks he's sick all the time, goes to all the counseling, gets all the tests.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he finds someone who may be dying.
Who's really, yeah.
And they're putting together a bucket list, and they're going to go and do them.
And the young lady is Maisie Williams, who you might recognize from Game of Thrones or from a couple of really good episodes of Doctor Who.
Well, who knows? You never know if you survive Game of Thrones. You've got to find a backup plan, Steve. Right. Sometimes you, in fact, there's a good point. She could be dying, and of course, that's the reason why she has this bucket list for this guy.
Right. There's a movie called Braid. This is creepy.
This is very, very creepy.
Uh-huh.
So let's just say that we don't know what's really going on. You enter a house. It's like a game, uh-huh. but you can't leave. And then it doesn't look like you... sorry. When you play the game, you have to play.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll never leave.
There's hammers involved. There's some torture going on in this one. I don't know. Oof. Some interesting things.
Oh, my goodness. Well, anyway, that one's coming up.
Yeah.
And then we have more, Steve.
Yeah, then it gets even creepier with a movie called Piercing. This is the story of an escort who wants to be killed. This is perverse.
It sounds like this prostitute may like this.
Uh-huh.
And then we've got a gentleman who is basically playing along with it.
Yeah.
We don't know really what's going on here, but let's just say there's a lot of quote-unquote adult situations going on.
That is for sure. You found some interesting ones this week.
And some torture.
And some torture, just for color. There's a movie called The Unicorn about a very loving couple who go to their parents' house.
Steve, this is a comedy.
Uh-huh.
This is a, when I say low budget, certainly up and coming actors.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about threesomes. So what can we say? More adult situations, Steve.
That's The Unicorn. I'm sure that there's some reason why that's the title of that movie. On Netflix this week, there's something called Velvet Buzzsaw featuring John Malkovich.
That's right. So we have two John Malkovich streaming shows that are coming out this week. This one is very kind of interesting. This is about art critics. There's some kind of supernatural thing going on. And John Malkovich. You never know if you're in his head or not.
Yeah, I looked at the trailer on this one, and I disregarded this pretty quickly. This looks a little bit too weird for my taste. But the second one, the one that's coming to Amazon Prime, this is Agatha Christie's The ABC Murders. John Malkovich here gets his turn as Hercule Poirot.
Steve gets to practice speaking his other Spanish.
Yeah, that's Belgian. That's Belgian. Hercule Poirot is from Belgium, and he speaks French, and that's one of the biggest jokes about Hercule Poirot.
What about that he speaks French?
That he speaks French, but he's from Belgium. That is one of the things that they talk about in every Poirot story.
Well, there you go. And this is based on the books on Agatha Christie.
Mm-hmm.
This looks pretty good. Yeah. And this is going to be streaming on Friday. Steve, is there a Fathom Events that potentially stars Stephen Baldwin that we should go see?
Remember Stephen Baldwin, the other Baldwin brother? Well, he's in a movie called The Least of These, the Graham Staines story. And if you look at this trailer, you would think this is an action-packed action movie with a soundtrack where Stephen Baldwin is going to save the day. But it's actually the story, a true story, about a guy who went to India and maybe, just maybe, he was there to convert religions for some of the people in India. That's what he was accused of doing, at least.
Well, there you go, Steve. And you can watch that in Fathom Events on Thursday, the 31st of January.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
There you go. Those are the movies. I would wait for streaming on many of those. Book it. Brings us to our book it, our book of the week. You are continuing your saga of Neil Gaiman stories. The short story collection that we started talking about last week was called Smoke and Mirrors, Short Fictions and Illusions, and you got into this, and you read another short story this week called Snow, Glass, Apples.
Yeah, when work is heavy and time is short, short stories work out real well.
Mm-hmm.
And Neil Gaiman is a very clever writer. This was written or released in 1994. I can't help but think, while reading this, that this was sort of an exploration of how to write. You know, we're taking one of the Snow White, a classic story,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to flip it over. We're going to tell it from the stepmother's point of view.
Interesting. This has been done. We've read all sorts of other stories that are based on those fairy tales. This is a good way to get a story going. You think of something that you know and you flip it. In this case, he decided that the stepmother in Snow White was the one who needed a little more of the spotlight.
Yeah, this took about an hour to read. For me, maybe for some readers, they can do it a little bit faster. I should say that this has adult situations in it,
mm-hmm.
So this may not be appropriate for younger readers. What we can say is not only was the story an exploration of the stepmother's point of view with her death at the end, but this has also been adapted a number of times. We have a graphic novel or a comic book coming out later this year. And that's the reason what prompted me to read it, because I said, oh, somebody's going to be doing an adaptation of this. In addition to that, there's a full cast adaptation of this short story, and it stars Phoebe Newworth, and most of us know her from Frasier.
Yes, because that her character from Cheers passed into the spinoff Frasier.
Was his wife.
Right.
The very cold lady.
The very cold wife in Frasier's life. And then she's of course a Broadway star, and she's known for Chicago, the Broadway show, where she's stunning.
So if you'd like to listen to a cast version of this, we've got the link right in our notes, so you can listen to that. I read it, and then I listened to it off of YouTube. There was a person who had read a copy of this short story. So it seems that Gaiman's pretty okay with people adapting his especially his early work.
Mm-hmm.
But what let's get to the story real quick. We learned that Snow White, because she's so white and pale, she may be a vampire, Steve.
That is some good use of ideas, putting together that idea. That makes sense. If she is pale, why is she pale? Well, maybe if she's a vampire.
Well, the idea is that she comes to her stepmother's room one evening, and she looks hungry and stuff like that, and the stepmother offers her an apple, a dried apple. And she eats that, and then she bites on her stepmother's finger and basically sucks out some blood. So eventually the stepmother gets kind of afraid of this, and recognizing that this person could be eventually leading the kingdom, sends the person with the child out into the woods to cut out her heart.
Mm-hmm. Something that you do to vampires.
So she cut out the heart, or had the heart cut out. It was brought back to her, and the stepmother hung it above her bed. We did find out that she survived because the heart was still beating, Steve.
Hmm.
And so she transformed herself, being a witch, I guess, the stepmother, and then made the poison apples and brought the poison apples to Snow White. Snow White ended up eating them, and of course, at that point, fell into her trance state.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually was woken up only to have Snow White come back and basically play some revenge on her.
Wow.
So this is our story. Like I said, I think my gut tells me this is the type of exploration you do when you're trying to work on your craft.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you're in a writing assignment at school or something of that nature. And you can imagine there's take a story that we all know and play with it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is exactly what Gaiman was doing. And what it allows you to do is not have to make up the story, but basically put your flair on it. Put why you can make this an interesting story. And I think he did a very, very good job at this. And it's worthy of your time. I mean, my goodness, like I said, when time is short and we're having to do a book a week, sometimes short stories work out real well.
That's awesome. And we look forward to the adaptation on the graphic novel that's coming out in August, and we'll probably talk about that when that comes out as well.
Oh, we'll see. We'll see.
Excellent. That one is Snow Glass Apples, part of the anthology Smoke and Mirrors, Short Fictions and Illusions by Neil Gaiman. You can find it on our Amazon store, amazon.toomuchscrolling.com.
Scroll with it.
Things happening in the world. Let's talk about almost none of them. The Oscar nominations were announced this week, and I saw one of the Best Picture nominees this year. That is my movie of the year, Black Panther, which finally, we have a comic book movie that is nominated for Best Picture.
Well, there you go, Steve. Steve, I've seen a lot more of those.
Yes, you have.
In fact, I will probably, and I think if there's eight nominees, I will see probably seven of the eight.
Wow.
So there you go. I'm right now at five of the eight. So
I've seen one.
Well, there you go. Steve, you'll have a lot to say about the Oscars again this year. Thank God for Kyle Hickman and his extensive knowledge.
That's right. We'll have Kyle come in and talk about what these movies really mean, and you can discuss it with him, and I'll just sit here and smile. Netflix is raising prices for their subscribers, and Hulu is lowering their rate on their basic tier. Those were both announced this week.
All right. So Netflix looks like they're going to $13 a month, which is still, because of the amount of, for many people, this is their television service.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously they have a nice book of entertainment that a person could watch. I think it's a value at $13.
I agree.
Hulu basically lowered their lowest tier, which has commercials, to $5.99.
Mm-hmm.
And then on their service with their streaming service that has their television service, they actually raised that from $40 to $45 a month. So I use YouTube TV. It's for my version of that, and that's $40 a month.
Mm-hmm.
For that. So they're kind of trying to position themselves, knowing that Disney and Warner Brothers are getting ready to launch their big apps. And we're going to have a lot of disruption this year. Many of you are going to have to become much more comfortable with getting a service for a period of time, canceling the service and going to another one, and just kind of playing around. You know, buying a service for a month, or buying a couple of services for a month, and then canceling it. So Netflix gets canceled, but I picked up, you know, HBO and Showtime.
And watch the shows that I need to watch from those that I've been suggested from all of my friends who say this is a great show. And then when you're done with those, you shut them down for a month or two, and then you pick up the others and you see those great shows. We have a wealth of great programming that's available, but it's being spread out across these systems. And that's really the way to do it.
And it's really going to be much more complicated going mm-hmm. Forward. And the complicated doesn't mean that you can't enjoy it. It just means that you're going to have to be comfortable with getting a service, canceling a service. Like I said, you know, once you cancel HBO and Showtime, the next month you picked up AMC
uh-huh.
and you picked up Stars.
Right.
Okay, and you watched some shows for a month, and then you canceled those, and you went to the next one.
And the good news is that it's really easy to cancel. The
Absolutely.
Barrier to canceling cable is really a gauntlet. You have to really work to cancel cable. To cancel HBO or Netflix is really simple.
Steve, we've got some good news coming because the big game is coming. Good Lord.
Those superb owls. The superb owl is coming on Sunday, February 3rd, and there's going to be commercials during the superb owl.
Well, and during the Superb Owl.
Have you heard that? Do you know that one?
Yes, that's from Colbert. but during that time, obviously you're going to grab a white Russian.
Yes.
And you probably need to go find a rug because it really kind of puts things together, right?
It really ties things together. That rug really ties things together. Jeff Bridges tweeted a message this week where he was dressed up as the dude from The Big Lebowski, and the internet went crazy. They thought, oh my goodness, this is a teaser for a sequel to The Big Lebowski. And it might be. There is a possibility that Jeff Bridges loves that character so much that he's ready to make a second movie after 21 years. Or, much more likely, this is the teaser for a commercial during the big game on February 3rd.
Well, Richard, whatever one it is, a lot of people know how to quote The Big Lebowski over and over and over.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, white Russians are always appropriate.
That's right. I look forward to whatever it is. I enjoy that character, and I enjoy Jeff Bridges' real love of that character, and I look forward to whatever he's going to bring us.
Hey, Steve, talking about Italian people.
Speaking of Italian people and the mafia and HBO, The Sopranos is getting a prequel with James Gandolfini's son playing a young Tony. I look forward to this. I really think you have never watched The Sopranos, and I really think you should. I think this prequel is going to be a real good exploration of that character who we fell in love with in The Sopranos, mm-hmm. and seeing his pre-mafia existence and why he was motivated to do what he did in The Sopranos. I look forward to this movie. And the fact that his son is playing the character is great.
In fact, every indication says that The Sopranos was a great series, mm-hmm. and this should be a very interesting story, too.
Because prequels are never disappointing.
Oh, there you go, Steve.
Are you an angel? I hate sand. Oh, wait. Sometimes prequels are not good. There is a sequel coming out in 2020. Ghostbusters is getting a sequel written and directed by Ivan Reitman's son, Jason. And they are in production so far that they actually gave us a little teaser like a day after the world found out that they were in production for this movie.
And Dan Aykroyd is going to be showing up here.
Good. I endorse the idea of seeing Dan Aykroyd in his Ghostbusters role once again.
So they're going to also ignore a couple of the Ghostbusters sequels, right?
Yeah, Ghostbusters 2 was not a good movie. It really was just a cash grab that didn't have the same oomph that the original 1984 Ghostbusters had. And the new Ghostbusters, which is just called Ghostbusters from last summer, that is also going to be ignored in this sequel because it's a reboot, not a sequel.
Oh, there you go. So anyway, lots of things to look forward to, Steve.
I look forward to all sorts of things. I look forward to you getting some electricity in your car so you can maybe start your car and getting out of the Arctic chill that we are experiencing. Siberian Express, is that what I heard the name of this is? We are going to have a week of struggles here in Chicago.
Well, there it is. And thank goodness for the beer store, Steve.
That's it. That's all you need. You need a little bit of information. You need some podcasts. You've got some movie recommendations, some book recommendations. You should be all set. I think we have enough information to survive another week. What do you think, Chip?
Only if we can come back next week, Steve.
We'll see. We'll see what your car says about that next week. If you need more information, give us a call or a text. Our phone number is 805-4104-TMS. Our website is TooMuchScrolling.com. Our email is TooMuchScrolling@gmail.com. We're on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. We're on iTunes and Stitcher and TuneIn Radio. And yes, kids, yes, there is a Spotify. And yes, we're on Spotify, Virginia. Yes, you can find us on Spotify. I want to thank you again for listening to Too Much Scrolling. I'm Steve Fodor.
I'm Chip Hassenblower.
We'll see you in the future. What I want to talk about, what I want to thank you for, what I want.